It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Ryan Ainslie, good morning. You guys are up at 3 a.m. all the time and happy about it. It is not often that the President of the United States is up at 3 a.m. for a reason to smile about. Normally it's bad news. Anything but last night, ear-to-ear smiles by the President, the First Lady, the Vice President, and Mrs. Pence as well as they walked onto the plane to greet those three Americans and then walked off with waves and smiles. One of those former prisoners in North Korea saying it's like a dream, very, very happy. And after this homecoming ceremony, they headed to Walter Reed Medical Center for a physical checkup, also to deal with sort of some of the emotional trauma of more than a year in captivity in North Korea. One of the detainees saying that he had been forced to do a lot of labor while he was there. The president on the tarmac taking a moment to remember a North Korean prisoner who came home in a very, very different situation.
It's a very important thing to all of us to be able to get these three great people out. I must tell you, I want to pay my warmest respects to the parents of Otto Warmbier, who is a great young man who really suffered.
Secretary of State Pompeo has been in the air and on the road now since Monday night. Still, he spent about 20 minutes inside the terminal at Andrews Air Force Base briefing the president and the vice president on his trip. And now begins the strategy sessions to figure out exactly how the administration wants to play their meeting with Kim Jong-un coming up early next month.
All right, that was Leland Vitter of Fox early this morning. And, of course, you heard Leland describe that early morning meeting, greeting of these three detainees from North Korea. Sandy Rios with you. It really is an incredible story. And I want to spend a few minutes just telling you how incredible it is. We had the president and the first lady, Vice President Pence and his wife, Mike Pompeo, and we had the three prisoners. And earlier when they had released prisoners, when they landed in Alaska, the three gentlemen released this statement. We would like to express our deep appreciation to the United States government, President Trump, Secretary Pompeo, and the people of the United States for bringing us home. We thank God and all our families and friends who prayed for us in our return. God bless America, the greatest nation in the world. I want to give you their names because I think it's really important. They are Kim Dong-chui, who was a South Korean-born U.S. citizen. He's the longest-serving detainee. He was detained, arrested October the 2nd, 2015, so, you know, three-plus years. He received a 10-year prison term with hard labor for allegedly perpetrating state subversive plots and espionage against North Korea. That's how it goes, you see, when you're a totalitarian state. It doesn't have to be specific, just some general horrible-sounding thing, and it may mean nothing. It generally does. He was a Virginia resident, and then there was the second one is Tony Kim, who also goes by the name Kim Sang-duk. He was detained April 22nd, 2017, so a year. He was arrested at the airport. His wife was with him, I remember this, for criminal acts of hostility aimed to overturn North Korea. Third one was Kim Hak-song, who worked in agricultural development. A couple of these taught in universities in North Korea, Pyongyang University, by the way, which was founded with donations from Christian groups. And that's kind of what I want to mention to you because I want to underscore a couple of things. Madeleine Albright was the only other Secretary of State to ever have visited North Korea besides Mike Pompeo. And she visited in 2000, and I remember that well. I'll tell you why. Because Madeleine Albright went there sort of praising North Korea, and the North Koreans put on a really good show. But what they didn't realize, there was a German doctor there. A German doctor Dr. Norbert Vollertsen, who became a friend of mine, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Dr. Vollertsen looked like, he just was like the quintessential German. If you were going to do central casting in a movie, you would choose Dr. Vollertsen. He had long, blonde hair that was straight and came down on his eyes, handsome, very square jaw. Dr. Vollertsen's father had been a Nazi. And so Dr. Vollertsen felt so horrible about what his father had done that he went to North Korea to volunteer as a doctor. And when he got to North Korea, he saw the horrendous conditions that maybe you have not even heard. At the time, they were doing surgeries without anesthetic. They were doing skin grafts after burns without any kind of anesthetic. In fact, he donated his own skin to burn victims. People were emaciated. People were starving. There was cannibalism. And I could go on and on. Dr. Vollertsen had come out of North Korea back to the European Union and was trying to tell them how bad things were. And no one would listen to him. No one would listen to him. I remember him sitting across the table from me telling me this story because I had been to North Korea. That's how I connected with him. And I remember him looking at my face as he told me these stories of the things he had seen and the young girl he talked about being operated on without any anesthetic. I couldn't help but cry. And he looked at me and he said, he was just stunned. He said, I have been all over Europe telling these stories and people look at me and go, so? He said, I have had no one respond like you are responding. And the bottom line is he was just so gratified that somebody cared. So that's Dr. Vollertsen. So when Madeleine Albright went to Korea, North Korea in 2000, she took an entourage. But Norbert Vollertsen, who had won now a Medal of Honor by the North Korean government for his volunteerism there in North Korea, got a car and took a group of journalists off into the hinterland, out of the propaganda. Believe me, it's propaganda. They have housing that's like fake houses on a movie set that has actually wooden frames holding it up from behind. I saw tons of that when I was there. So it looks great on the front because it's just a facade. Dr. Vollertsen took these journalists back into North Korea and let them see the emaciation, the horrors, the poverty, the hunger. And he was then expelled from the country. Now, that's the backdrop of what else I want to tell you. When I was there in 9/11 of 2001, yes, that 9/11, I happened to be in North Korea. We had gotten in under the guise of bringing supplies to their school children, which we did do. So that's what we did. But we also saw a lot. Trust me, we saw a lot. And before we went into North Korea, we could not meet with any Christians in North Korea. It was just too dangerous. In North Korea, if you are caught with a Bible or talking about anything like that, three generations of your family will be killed. Period. Bottom line, that's it. And so we met with them. There were people hiding in caves. So the men, there were six of us. I was with six radio hosts. The men went to the caves to talk to the men who were hiding. And we, there were two women. We went to, we met in northern Manchuria with some people hiding in a house and heard the most incredible stories. But what I really want to tell you is the people that were putting their lives on the line in northern Manchuria, and the Tumon River is right there separating northern Manchuria and North Korea. People were escaping all the time across that river, and of course many of them never made it. But the people that were helping them on the shore, giving them food, and always giving them Bibles. They had a special little Bible that they could hide. Were South Korean Americans, South Korean businessmen. We met so many of them who had gone over there and made such incredible sacrifices, putting their lives on the line, sacrificing their own wealths because they were successful and fortunes in the United States to do what they were doing to reach their fellow Koreans in the Northern Peninsula. And so when these men were, when they've been itemized, I don't know anything about them personally. So I'm not claiming something that I don't really know. But what I think is that at least two of them probably are the kinds of people I'm just describing to you that I worked with and saw. And so this is an amazing story as they are released today. And we're going to be hearing more about it, I hope. The president made a statement as they were standing next to him. Let's listen to that.
Nobody thought we could be on this track in terms of speed. So I'm very honored to have helped the three folks. They're great people. It's a great honor. But the true honor is going to be if we have a victory in getting rid of nuclear weapons.
All right. So thank you, God, for this delivery. I don't think anyone ever thought this would be possible. My understanding is that in spite of what the president's saying, he's being very gracious publicly, that this was a non-negotiable item, that these men had to be released before there would be any discussion. And so God bless President Trump, and thank you, God, for answered prayers on behalf of those people and on behalf of the people of North Korea who have suffered. They have the worst concentration camps of any place on the globe. They are unbelievably cruel. We've heard from North Korean defectors of the things that they do. I mean, they rival, listen, the death camps of Nazi Germany have nothing over what they do to people in these North Korean camps. And so I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that, too. I would think so anyway. I have a couple of things I want to tell you in addition to this. Israel hit Iran's Syria bases last night with 70 missiles, killing at least 23 fighters. And vowing, if it rains in Israel, it pours in Iran. Because Iran had blasted Israel the day before, sending rockets in the Golan Heights. The famed Iron Dome. By the way, I met the inventor of the Iron Dome when I was in Israel when I did that national security tour. It was just fascinating. It's just fascinating. And the dome, it's a smart interceptor, so it doesn't. It finds whatever's coming its way and finds it and then stops it. Doesn't have to be launched by a person or none, you know, no kind of calculations on the part of a human being. It's all done by computer. It's just amazing. So nothing hit Israel. No one was hurt. They stopped those, and then they blasted Iran's Syria bases with 70 missiles, and they killed at least 23 fighters. So things are heating up in Israel as a result of the withdrawal from the Iran deal. And so that's that. I want to also quickly tell you about Gina Haspel. Of course, she had her confirmation hearing yesterday. Most of it was about, you know, waterboarding and torture and all of that. Not a thing about her real record. But this is the part I want to bring to you because I don't think you're going to hear this anywhere else. There are significant people calling for the president to withdraw his nomination. I know you're hearing good things about Gina Haspel, but I have to tell you, I believe this is a situation just like Bob Mueller, who, remember, we were told he's great, he's wonderful, he's a man of integrity, he's the very best person to do this. We have to have Bob Mueller. We heard it from Republicans and Democrats, and that's what many of us feel is happening with Gina Haspel. Gina Haspel is John Brennan's pick. John Brennan, former CIA director under President Obama. John Brennan, the central figure in the deep state and in the resistance against President Trump. No one denies that he has played a huge role in this. I've also told you, as an aside, he voted for the Communist Party candidate for president in 1980. Doesn't deny that. He loves Gina Haspel. He wants her to be the CIA director. But many people are saying that because of that, it's not just him. It's other members of the deep state who think she's wonderful, and that's why we think that maybe she is not so wonderful. And so many people are asking for the president to withdraw her nomination. Now, again, that's information you're only going to hear from me, probably. But I'm telling you, just giving warning, that if he is for her, we might have some serious problems with this nomination. Not sure she's going to get through because a lot of Democrats are opposing her, supposedly for the waterboarding, which my information tells me she really had very little to do with. All right, so that's the story. And when we come back, some really good news. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
In the book of Isaiah, the word tells us the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. In the same way, without careful planning, your financial goals could blow away like the seeds of a dandelion. It's never too early or too late to consider how a charitable gift annuity can help you meet the financial goals you've set for your loved ones, your causes, and yourself. Give AFA Foundation a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website, afafoundation.net. Let us explain how a charitable gift annuity can help you achieve your goals. As we read in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Our phone number again is 800-326-4543, extension 345. And our website is afafoundation.net.
Would you be willing to do a values audit on your home? If you are, it could make a difference for the next generation. This is Jim Garlow in a special series for the family. To what extent are you conveying biblical values in your home? I call it osmotic learning. By osmosis, I mean the atmosphere in your home. What are you permitting in your home? What are you directing in your home? What are the things that are special? How are you creating special memories or traditions? It doesn't matter if you don't have children, you may be an uncle or an aunt. You have an impact on some kids somewhere. And conversely, what are you doing to proactively shield your children or your grandchildren from influences that are destroying their souls? Let me remind you, this is a big deal to God. This is Jim Garlow. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
From Fort Bragg, North Carolina, an Army chaplain faces a reprimand for refusing to violate his religious beliefs. Chaplain Scott Squires was accused of refusing to let a lesbian couple attend a marriage retreat. The Army determined the chaplain had discriminated against the soldier based on her sexual orientation. But First Liberty Institute, a law firm that represents the chaplain, says there's more to the story. Chaplain Squires is a Southern Baptist, and his denomination bars him from providing marriage counseling to same-sex couples. Had he allowed the couple to attend the retreat, he would have lost his endorsement. And under Army regulations, the chaplain must follow the rules of his endorsing agent. So in essence, Chaplain Squires is being punished by the Army for following the Army's own regulations. Regardless, the military contends the chaplain discriminated against the lesbian soldier and must be punished. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military. Effective immediately, transgender Americans may serve openly, and they can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender. Additionally, I have directed that the gender identity of an otherwise qualified individual will not bar them from military service or from any accession program. In taking these steps, we're eliminating policies that can result in transgender members being treated differently from their peers based solely upon their gender identity rather than upon their ability to serve. And we're confirming that going forward, we will apply the same general principles, standards, and procedures to transgender service members as we do to all service members.
That was the voice of Ash Carter, who was at that time Secretary of Defense for Barack Obama. That was sort of the last big kiss to the military before Barack Obama left office. That was June of 2016. And it was as a result of a RAND Corporation study that claimed that if the U.S. military decides to let transgender people serve openly, the number would likely be a small fraction of the total force and have minimal impact on readiness and health care costs. That was just part of what they found. And so The president, on his way out, decided to grant that to the military. Well, President Trump decided to review that policy, you might remember, and he said there won't be transgenders in the military, and immediately the courts had a fit. And so Secretary Mattis decided that there should be another study, another commission. And at the time, the commission was given to a guy named Anthony Curta, who was a Barack Obama appointee who had actually organized the gay pride celebration at the Pentagon. And so there wasn't a lot of optimism about what that report was going to say. And I have to tell you that many people have been working to try to get the president to hold the line on this behind the scenes. But it's been kind of silent. We haven't really known what's happened, but now we do. And so someone really, I think the quintessential force who's just been steadfast on this more than any of the rest of us who have joined in, but at the forefront of all of this fight has been Elaine Donnelly, who is the founder and president at the Center for Military Readiness. I got to know Elaine when she was fighting and exposing the ridiculousness of having women in combat a number of years ago, then all the social changes that were forced upon the military through the Clinton administration and now through the Obama administration. And Elaine joins us this morning to explain what we know now about the president's new policy. Elaine, thanks so much for joining me. Good morning, Elaine. All right, Adam, work on that. Let's see what we can do. Let me just say that we only found out about this because there was no big fanfare in the release of this report or finding or decision on the part of President Trump. It came out in a court case in Seattle at the end of March. And so it's really intriguing what's going on. Can you guys talk to me and tell me what's happening? Okay, thank you. All righty. So it came out in a court case, and it's pretty stunning. So there are going to be two parts to this conversation with Elaine. We're going to talk about what the president's commission actually reported, what the decision was on whether to allow transgenders in the military or not. And then the next thing is the court cases. The lawsuits that have been filed now as a result of this are unbelievable. So, of course, the courts have gotten themselves into it, and that's what we're really concerned about. So it turns out, while we're waiting for Elaine, it turns out that Anthony Carter was replaced by someone else who actually oversaw this commission, unbeknownst to many of us. And it looks as though, she will have the name, it looks as though there was when you read the report initially, you think it's going to be, they're going to come down in the wrong place on this. Because it's a 44-page report. It looks as though that they're going to kind of hold to the Obama policies on this, but really not true. It's really not true. And so this is what Elaine is going to tell us, I think, if we get her back. Let me just say this. Four federal district judges have issued a nationwide preliminary injunction ordering the Trump administration to retain Obama-era policies. That happened in August of 2017. So as a result of that, before we get into the policy, LGBT activist plaintiffs have served the Center for Military Readiness, Heritage Foundation, and Liberty Council, and the FRC subpoenas for all of their correspondence with the White House and the Pentagon since the president came down the escalator in Trump Tower. Now, Elaine, are you with us?
Yes, I heard your voice, and then all of a sudden I did not hear your voice, so okay. Glad to reconnect here.
All right, well, we've got a challenge now. We only have 10 minutes. So, Elaine, I gave them background. I did not tell them what you found when you read the president's policy. So I'm going to turn it to you. What is actually the president's new policy based on what you learned out of that Seattle courtroom?
Well, it was surprisingly consistent with what the president said originally when he said that we will not have transgenders in the military, but it is a nuanced approach. It says, for instance, that those who came out under the previous policy under Barack Obama would be allowed to stay in the military. Their treatment will continue. They will not be negatively affected. This change, by the way, completely demolishes the premise of litigation against the president. But, of course, the judges won't acknowledge that. It also says that persons with gender dysphoria will not be eligible to serve in the military in the future. There is one rather nuanced section where it says it will allow persons who identify as something other than their biological gender or their transgender, but if they do not have gender dysphoria, and if they serve in their biological gender, and if they are deployable, and they comply with all those rules, and if all of this applies for 36 months, 3 years, then they can serve in the military. Now, that sounds very complicated, and it is, but it shows that the president is trying to be reasonable here, but he's being firm in saying that military readiness comes first. The military does not exist to provide medical benefits just for the sake of providing medical benefits. The military health system should not be misused. It is a force multiplier. And he's got his priorities straight. So immediately, as you said, the lawsuits were filed. We predicted that. There were four federal judges. Think they know better than the President of the United States how to run the military. They've been running the military ever since with their preliminary injunctions. The government has been served with petitions. We want to know, how did you arrive at this decision? Well, if you read the full report, 44 pages, you can see exactly how they arrived at the decision. But the LGBT advocates have this conspiracy theory, something about, well, the president wasn't really influenced by the military leaders. It was all animus, his personal hostility toward transgenders, and he was influenced by organizations like the Family Research Council, Heritage, my organization, Center for Military Readiness. All of these groups were against transgenders. That's why the president acted. And they want to prove this conspiracy theory in the absence of having any positive arguments for including transgenders in the military. So that's where we are right now. It's going to take a long time, a long slog, but the president has done the right thing. Now that he has the high ground, he has to fight in court to keep it.
And we'll come back to that, Elaine, I want to go back to the president's policy on this now and kind of ask you a question. From your understanding, then, if a person has some gender issues, my familiarity with this is, like, for instance, men like to wear women's clothing sometimes. Mm-hmm. So basically, the policy is that if a person has that problem but still serves as a male in a male uniform and is deployable for 36 months, they can be part. Can they join or can they stay in? Is it that anybody can join who has that
they
problem?
They can either join or stay in. And this is where, in the alternative, there are disciplinary rules, and the disciplinary rules need to be clarified to say that they apply 24/7, around the clock, on base and off base. That is implied in the policy here. The disciplinary rules remain on the books, but there is a need for clarification. And by the way, if we were the ones directing this thing, we did not have a seat at the table. We were not consulted, unlike the guy who chaired the panel of experts, who was a known advocate of LGBT causes. We did our best to get our information and our advice ahead of the president, but we have no way of knowing whether President Trump or Vice President Pence was influenced by anything that we wrote. We'd like to think they were, but we don't know. But all of these kinds of issues were discussed by the panel of experts, and in some cases, I disagreed with what they decided to do. For instance, we recommended that they have conditional contracts, which means, okay, we're allowing you to join the military under court order, but we're pursuing it in court, and if the court rules in our favor, this contract may no longer be valid. That's only fair. And then people can decide whether they still want to join or not. They did not do that. So the Pentagon, I think they have given, as Secretary Mattis said, the best military advice that they could to the president. And only recently, a couple weeks ago, Secretary of Defense Mattis made this very clear, that they gave the president their best military advice. And he said that he was actually studying this issue well before President Trump issued his tweets and then his formal policy change memo. Secretary Mattis was on top of this. But none of the facts seem to matter to the advocates here. I want to throw out a few facts of what's in this report based on actual data from Department of Defense. The known identified transgenders in the military, there's 994, not many thousands the way Rand speculated, 994. These people accounted for 30,000 mental health visits. The records show, DOD health system records show, that their medical costs increased 300%, three times greater. We have commanders who said they had to use operations and maintenance funds to pay for extensive travel throughout the United States for specialized transgender medical care. And this is the sad one. The rates of suicide, those with gender dysphoria, sadly, are eight times greater, more likely to attempt suicide, and nine times more likely to have mental health encounters than other service members. So they also found that there are no credible studies showing that transgender hormone treatments or surgeries are effective in resolving underlying psychological problems. And let's face it, if you're confused about gender identity, that is really a serious situation. Everyone should be concerned and have compassion for people who have this condition. They certainly deserve competent psychological care. But the way that Ashton Carter set it up, these people would get only one type of medical care, recommending hormone treatments, irreversible surgeries, those kinds of things that don't solve underlying problems and in many cases make it worse.
So the president's policy is really actually very solid. I mean, some might take issue with allowing people in who have gender nonconforming problems. But that's a small problem compared to allowing transgenders, full-blown transgender men or women, to enter the military and demand surgeries and hormone treatments and not be deployable. That was really a bridge too far. So this
is
a good thing.
It really is, and it also forces the entire institution to change, even though we're talking about small numbers. You have to have training programs. You have to teach doctors and nurses. In fact, you have to order doctors and nurses that even if they consider these medical treatments unethical or contrary to their personal values and convictions, they have to do it anyway. Secretary Mattis testified only recently. Why did the military people go along? They had no choice but to go along. They had to. And he confirmed that himself. And he said that in answer to a question from members of Congress. I think it was Senator Gillibrand. He was also before the House committee. He was quite clear in the message that he gave. But the people who questioned him are not interested in hearing the truth or the facts.
Okay, but so now we're in four different courtrooms, four now, and you guys are being sued, as is FRC, or
no,
I guess
no,
subpoenaed.
We're not being
subpoenaed,
sued.
Subpoenaed, sorry.
Subpoenaed, right.
Yeah,
different.
Yeah, sorry. So Heritage, Center for Military Readiness, FRC, and Liberty Council.
Liberty Council, right.
Yeah, so what meanwhile happens to the policy? Is it still
the
Obama?
Well, the policy is not in effect yet. The Trump policy cannot go into effect because the federal judges are standing in the way. You have to obey a court order lest you become in contempt of court. So the administration has to comply with these court orders until they get challenged by the United States Supreme Court in a case that eventually will get there. And we're pretty confident that they will prevail because of several reasons. The Constitution, number one, the judges have no authority at all over the military, none. Article 3, which defines the judiciary, does not give that power to the judiciary. Articles 1 and 2, the Congress and the President have that power. So on constitutional grounds alone, frankly, I think they should have appealed around Christmas time when these lawsuits were just erupting on the scene. They should have gone immediately to the Supreme Court of the United States, even if it required being in court on Christmas Eve. They
yes.
could and should have done that. Again,
yes.
another example of how they didn't take our advice on that. But now they say, well, now we have the report, and now we'll go into court eventually. Well, they will. But in the meantime, the court orders stand. And that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. Elaine, you're a champion on this. And as I said to you yesterday privately, I'm so grateful for your steadfastness. And just for you have been such a strong voice on behalf of the military for the last couple of decades. Just fearless and never letting go. And I just, for one, I'm so grateful for that. So we will talk again because we want to know how this court cases go for you, Center for Military Readiness, and the others. But God bless you, Elaine.
Thank you, Sandy. You are a patriot, too, and I appreciate your support.
All right, talk to you soon. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For nothing will be impossible with God. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Chinese geologists have published a peer-reviewed study confirming that the mountain above North Korea's main nuclear test site collapsed on itself. The study, carried out by scientists at the University of Science and Technology of China, concluded that the mountain buckled under the stress of multiple explosions. Interestingly, these findings preceded the unprecedented talks between North and South Korea and a verbal agreement to end the Korean War. They also precede direct talks between North Korea and the U.S. Perhaps this encouraged Kim Jong-un's presence at the international negotiating table.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
This is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, revealing the hearts of missionaries, their stories, and lives. Across the world or across town, Exploring Missions, Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The president, his wife, and vice president took the extraordinary step of welcoming home at 2 a.m. three American citizens held hostage by North Korea's dictator. The freeing is a welcome prelude to an upcoming meeting between Mr. Trump and that dictator, Kim Jong-un. Let's hope it signals Kim's readiness to make other concessions resulting in his country's denuclearization. Kim must also be pressed to stop his regime's brutal oppression, particularly of those like the three hostages who are Christians. Open Doors says followers of Christ in North Korea are the planet's most heavily persecuted. They dare to believe in a God whose name is not Kim Jong-un. A Trump administration that champions the world's persecuted Christians must address the reality that a nation that treats its own people so brutally is unlikely to pose no threat to ours. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I have a destiny.
Freedom isn't just for politicians.
It's meant for each of us.
To play a role.
To be significant.
To be significant.
To live with purpose. My life has meaning.
I have a destiny.
Who am I? Does it matter? I was given one life.
If not us, then who?
If not now, when?
Let's change the world.
People say you can't change the world because you're young or inexperienced.
Because you aren't ready.
But I'm training every single day
and I have a voice.
I will give this life everything I've got.
Because I am a champion.
We all have one life to give.
I am a patriot, and I have a destiny.
Sandy Rios with you. Well, that is a little ad that gives you a taste of what we're going to talk about next. You know, if you are a student ages 16 through 25, or you have a child, you have a grandchild, listen up. Because if you're wondering about how to sort of counter the cultural drift we talk about every day, this is a great opportunity. It's called Patriot Academy. And every year they hold boot camps around the country in various state capitals. Let me just read to you what they say themselves. Students delve into the political process from the inside out as they file legislation, debate bills, campaign for office, and pass laws. And in between legislative activities, they receive training in media skills, public speaking, leadership, current issues, and America's heritage, all from a biblical worldview. Conservative leaders from all areas of the political field mentor students through the process, sharing their experience and wisdom. Patriot Academy offers students the most realistic, condensed, conservative political training that we know of. The regional academies are in Arizona, Idaho, Florida, Delaware. They're three-day sessions, while the National Academy in Texas is a seven-day session open to all qualified students from around the country. Now, that gives you the best overview we can give, but we're going to talk more about it. If that catches your eye, your attention, go to patriotacademy.com. PatriotAcademy.com, and you can find out the details of where and how much and all of that. Again, kids, students ages 16 through 25. Now, we have with us this morning a graduate from Patriot Academy. I'm not sure how well he's doing, you know, if it's had any effect on his life, because I'm not sure. But his name is Walker Wildman, and he is right now, of course, the son of the president and the grandson of the founder of the American Family Association. Walker is now bringing his generation to the great work of the American Family Association. He's the assistant to the president. He's also the host of the weekend program called Exposing Washington, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning, Sandy. I like to think that I may have gotten more out of Patriot Academy than I did my four-year college education.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious. As far as practical life skills, I learned so much in the 3 or 4 days I was at a Patriot Academy back in 2015. So it's on up there with my college degree as far as value and education.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I understand that. I think so much of, you know, sometimes we graduate from 4 years in school and scratch our heads. And when we actually get into the real world, we understand that what we learned was just like a sentence or two about a few things compared to what life, you know, really deals out on what you have to know. Mm-hmm. Walker, okay, so let me ask, what does everybody experience the same things, or do you have individual choices when you get to the academy?
Yeah, pretty much everyone goes through the same process. And the process is, you know, you go, you know, the first day you kind of get introduced and you introduce yourself, meet others, meet and greet, mingle. And then soon after that, you jump in to the legislative process. So at Patriot Academy, you basically act as if you're a lawmaker, a congressman or a senator for 3 days. And with that comes, you have to write your own bills, write your own legislation, which you have to submit before you even get to the academy. And then you have to lobby for your bill, explain why it's constitutional, why it's needed. You have to get others on board and convince them to vote for your legislation. And all that, you learn leadership skills. You have to learn how to defend your beliefs, because often legislation that you write is something you believe in with your heart. So all of those skills are helping students learn the Constitution, they learn the Bill of Rights, they learn the Declaration of Independence, and they learn basically law and order in America and how to defend it. So it's a very, very good academy, and it's not just an academy where people kind of learn this relativistic type lawmaking, et cetera. The Constitution is taught. They have Bible studies that are taught. They have prayer. So this is not just a neutral thing. This is a biblical constitutional academy.
Okay, so Walker, you know, you came from a family that, you know, you absorbed a lot of this just by living in the four walls in which you lived and mm-hmm. from your grandfather. But a lot of people may say, you know, I would be interested in something like that, but I'm not at that point. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so what can a novice come to this academy and catch on?
Yes, absolutely. Patriot Academy is for people who maybe somebody's going to go and be a welder for the rest of their life. Maybe they're going to go into construction. Maybe they're going to work on cars. Or maybe they want to run for office. Or maybe they're going to have a white-collar job. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. The reality is that each of us as citizens of this great country, we need to know how our country's governed, whether we're going to be, you know, involved in it on a daily basis or not. Just knowing, going and learning how our government works helps us be informed citizens. We can vote more. We make more informed votes moving forward. So this academy is really for anyone and everyone.
You know, Walker, I hate to say this, but when I was a kid, you know, you love those statements, don't you? When I was a kid, we all had to take civics and we all had to pass it. And that meant we had to learn the Constitution and you had to pass that. Plus, you had to learn the way the government worked. I remember writing bills or anything like that, but we surely did learn the process and we could not graduate until we did that. That was an eighth grade requirement, actually.
Yeah.
So this is really kind of making up a deficit in the public school system, don't you think?
It is, absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes we spend a lot of times talking about the bad news going on in our country, and we need to. We need to expose the darkness in our country and what's going on, the key players, who's responsible for what. But at the end of the day, if you don't come back with something else to replace it with, then you're just going to have more of the same. And you know about that, being in Washington and keeping up with that. If you don't have... For example, you would really understand is if you don't have conservative constitutional candidates to replace the bad people that are doing bad things in Washington, then things aren't going to get much better. But that's exactly what Patriot Academy is doing. They have several alumnus that have already ran for office, already in office in various states. So this is a long term goal, and that is to train up leaders who can lead our country in the decades to come.
All right, let me repeat. It's Patriot Academy. And if you want, this piques your interest and you want to read more, or if you say, I want to sign up, go to patriotacademy.com. We're looking for kids. By the way, American Family Association is a sponsor of this academy, a major sponsor. It's kids, students 16 through 25. And this would just be a great way. As we said before, most of these courses, except for the one in Texas, are 3 days. And I think the Texas one is like 7 days. I think that's what, yeah. And let me give the locations just so people will know. In Florida, at the state capitol, it's June 11th to 13th. At the Idaho state capitol in Boise, that's June 20th to the 22nd. The Arizona state capitol is June 27th to the 29th. Delaware, that's for the North folks in the Northeast, it's July 11th to the 13th. The Texas State Capitol, theirs is July 29th to the August 4th. That's the long one. And in the Mid-Atlantic region, it's Virginia State Capitol, and that's the fall of 2018. So that's close enough for all of you. I think you have to pay your own way there, but then once you get there, your tuition pays for everything else. Let's talk for a second about who wouldn't fit in here, Walker. I mean, who would not be a qualified or maybe a good fit for this?
Well, that's kind of a hard question, but I'll try to answer it. The you do have to submit, basically, you submit an application and explain why you want to come to Patriot Academy when you apply, and what qualifies you to come. And it's not that they turn people down a lot, but they want to make sure that you care about our country, you care about our Constitution, and you care about biblical values before you come and spend 3 to 4 days hearing about that and being taught on it. So they don't need devil's advocate. They don't need 100 devil's advocate at the academy, you know, disrupting the process. So, but anyone and everyone's welcome. But I would encourage you, if you're going to go, you need to want to learn. You need to be very humble, and you need to want... You should be ready to soak in a lot of knowledge and a lot of information. And the great thing is I'm going to be at the Texas State Capitol July 29th through August 4th. I'm going to be teaching there or lecturing. I'm going to give a speech on the different pillars of Washington and kind of what keeps the power brokers in power, whether it be the judicial branch, executive branch, Congress, you know, the deep state, various aspects that are keeping our country going in the wrong direction. So I'm going to be talking about that at the Texas State Capitol in late July.
Okay. You know, Walker, you may never have seen this movie, but it's one of my favorites. It's called The Emperor's Club, and Kevin Klein is a headmaster, and it's about a boys' school. Did you ever see that?
I did not.
Well, it's a very traditional school. They taught Latin and just really high-level academic training. They wore suits, and this is the story. I know it's based on truth, but this is the story, and it's in this beautiful setting. And it just, the guys that graduate from there are so successful. But here's the part of the story that gets interesting. At one point, it shows Kevin Klein as the, no, he's a teacher. He's not the headmaster. As he's teaching these boys through the generations, and it gets to somewhere in the 70s. And one kid comes in who is totally disrespectful, is very cynical, sarcastic, begins to sort of plant seeds of discord among the boys. And the movie is about the power of that one kid to destroy the school. Hmm. And it's just interesting. I just would say, for those of you who are looking for an interesting movie, that would be one of them. And that's the reason I mention who probably wouldn't fit in here.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot being accomplished. And according to Patriot Academy, they're looking for people who have the maturity to function at a high level and intensity. They want to see people come that are not opposed to the basic principles taught at the Patriot Academy. Not that they don't have questions, but that they're not enemies of the principles. They're there to just find out, and they may question. That's not the same thing as undermining.
Mm-hmm.
Open to study and learning more about founding principles, as opposed to a student who has rejected the founding principles and is actively working against them.
Yeah.
Also, someone who is not publicly violating basic morals, which are being disrespect for the Patriot Academy, and someone who doesn't have personal responsibility and initiative by completing the application in a proper time. So mm-hmm. That's who they're looking for. That's who they're not looking for. So if you have, again, a student 16 to 25 who you think would benefit from this, it's patriotacademy.com, patriotacademy.com.
Sandy, can I say one more thing?
Sure, please.
Yeah, I know we're running short on time, but one quick story. My legislation in Patriot Academy back in 2015, my key legislation was building a wall on the southern border. And this was before that President, then candidate Trump, ran on that issue and stuff. This was during, you know, the Obama days when we were having the surge of illegal immigrants across the border. So the border wall was my issue. And my legislation was going to build a border wall on virtually all of the southern border. With the exception of some places where it's because of the terrain, it's impossible. But I had some legislators or other students, attendees, come up to me, and I really needed their vote and their support. They were in power, but they wanted me to give up the wall. They wanted me to do what they called a virtual wall with technology. And so I had a choice there. Do I give up the main basis and my beliefs that we need a physical wall and go with the people in power, or do I stick with my convictions? And I had to make a choice there. I stuck with it, and I really appreciate it.
So you learned. Boy, did you learn. Oh, that's Walker Wildman. Of course, you can hear him every weekend as host of Exposing Washington. And Walker is a great example of what graduates turn out like from Patriot Academy. That's patriotacademy.com. And I hope that you will seriously consider making it possible for your student or for yourself to attend this academy. Thank you, Walker. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.